Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good morning to you. As we broadcast today from Heroes Bar and Grill in Glen Mills, we've been having some technical difficulties. We do apologize for that.
We're like the Eagles in the first half against the Rams.
Yeah.
Let's just hope we have a second half in us. You know what I'm saying?
Let's hope indeed. Hey, Menta Construction, we thank them for their donation to the Eagles Autism Foundation. All right, so we have a few minutes here to assess whether this is going to work to do this broadcast from here or not today. And if it doesn't work in the next couple of minutes, then we're going to be getting in our cars and coming back to the studio. Seltzer can not only hop on the air to host the show, but can obviously play the Sirianni interview from yesterday, which we covered a lot of ground with the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. So all of that is potentially up ahead at 215-592-9494. So the Saquon thing, whether you have concerns, as his numbers are significantly diminished this year, the question is whether you think he's diminished. To an extent, no one's saying he's fallen off a cliff. But I'll just say, to me, the eye test, he has not looked the same. Hasn't looked bad, obviously. But last year, he looked otherworldly. And I would say to this point this year, to me, he doesn't look otherworldly. All right, Shiel Kapadia joins us in a couple minutes. We're going to get to AMA later today. You ask, we answer questions, obviously, from Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Get some good, fun, creative questions out there about sports or otherwise. And we'll have some fun with that coming up. Later in the program. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Drew right now. Drew, good morning, buddy. Hey, Drew.
Drew.
All right, Drew not there. Let's talk to Neil and see if we can get Neil going. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Joe. Shout out to you and your book and on Amazon.com.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much.
About the Phillies, just briefly, Lizardo's pitching. I like to see them try to at least win two out of three. But, you know, I think one of the things is, like, the Diamondbacks were chasing a playoff bait and the Marlins are, too, and is still alive. That gives them a little bit more energy. If I was Topper, I would have stayed with Sanchez at least one more inning or whatever. But it's, I'd say a somewhat concern about Duran, but, Schwarber hit his 54th home run. You know, I wonder if he gets hot and it gives Howard.
Wonder if he gets hot. Guy's been hot the whole year.
for the
most part.
Yeah.
You know, Neil, he got to 130 RBIs last night. First Phillies player since Ryan Howard. I heard that number, and sometimes you lose track of it. You know, he's, 100, 110, 120. But when you hear that 130 number last night, that's a big number, especially for an offense that hasn't exactly cooked all year. I mean, it's not like Bryce has been superb this year. He's been pretty good. So 130 RBIs, that is a special campaign.
Yeah. I know, Joe, it's World Series or bust, but I think I agree with you. You know, like, try to re-sign Schwarber or Realmuto and Ranger, at least two out of three. Because I think, the nucleus could, still do damage and even try to sign Bader for another year or so. Because I think, in a 5 or 6 year run, I think they'd be in contention again all the time. And Topper deserves a lot of credit. I mean, I didn't like him taking Sanchez out, but, I think his moves have been pretty good. And usually they play pretty well at home. So
all right, Neil, you got it, my man.
The playoff.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate the call. So let's assess or address one thing from last night that, for me, is by far the biggest concern out of last night, which is JT's. I don't know if injury is the right term, but he got smoked with a line drive on his hand.
He
got smoked.
X-rays were negative.
Yeah.
which is great to hear, and we know how tough he is.
Yeah.
But that is his throwing hand.
And you hold the bat. Yeah. It's the bat and throwing the ball.
Yeah.
And so for those that missed it, he stayed in the game defensively. This happened late in the game.
Nice.
He stayed in to finish that half inning defensively. Then when it was his turn to come up to bat in the next half inning, he was replaced by Marchand. Ben Davis is going to be with us at 7 o'clock, and obviously more than anybody, Ben could talk about a foul ball that smokes your hand, your knuckle, and the impact for a catcher, again, on the throwing hand.
It did give. Like, you could see when it hit, the ball's coming in with a lot of velocity. Yeah. I mean, it's Duran, but it did give, which seems like it's helpful, you know, in terms of avoiding more catastrophic injury.
I hope, man.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah, that you have some bend there.
It didn't just thump.
Yeah.
It sort of hit the hand, and there was, you know, the hand gave with the ball, and that allowed it to be less injurious.
Yeah.
But,
James,
man,
in the moment last night, what are you thinking when you see that JT thing with his knuckles?
It's one of those things where your immediate thought is, oh, no, he broke his hand. You know what I mean? Like, I always think that. Whenever anything goes to the knuckles or in there, I'm like, that's my immediate thought. How's he going to grip a bat? How's he going to throw all that? But then my second thought is with JT. It's like he's, I don't know, it feels like he's built of, like, metal or something. It feels like he takes so many freaking hits, this guy, and it never keeps him out. It never stops him from being around the next freaking day, practically. So I wasn't as scared as I probably should have been.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I'm pretty concerned. Now, you do have a stretch here before the playoffs begin, which will be on Saturday, October 4th. Not officially for the Phillies, but they have a magic number of one. So, Phillies lost last night. Brewers lost last night. Dodgers lost last night.
Their bullpen stunk last night, too,
Which one?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers, yeah.
Same thing. Shohei went 6 scoreless.
Yeah. So the Dodgers, you know, obviously are going to be the 3 seed. Phillies are going to be the 2 seed. Brewers are going to be the 1 seed. If anything, last night, all but sealed, you know, the Phillies' fate, essentially. Again, I use the word essentially because it's not official, but the Phillies are not going to be the 1 seed. Had they won last night, you know, you can make a case. You see it in the next 5 games. You have a shot. But the Phillies' margin for error to get that 1 seed is pretty much too slim. So they're not going to get that. They're going to be the 2 seed. They're going to start the playoffs Saturday, October 4th, which means for someone like JT, you know, you got about a week and a half to hopefully get him, you know, ready to go. And again, x-rays being negative, John, as you said, is extremely significant. But with that said, I mean, if you missed it, I mean, the ball smoked his hand, and it did look like it was right on the knuckles. You know, ideally, if you get hit in the hand, you get hit in the palm. But this looked more like knuckles. And for a catcher who's got to throw and a baseball player who's got a bat, you got to hold that bat, you got to grip that bat, you got to swing that thing with force and control. That's tough, man. All right, let's talk some football with our next guest. Obviously, with everything that we're discussing today, you can weigh in at 215-592-9494 for a deep dive on the Philadelphia Eagles. That would be the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. We turn to our guy, Mr. Sheil Kapadia, who does just exceptional work with us and joins us every single Wednesday during the football season. Good morning, Sheil.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
Great,
I'm doing better than JT's hand after last night. Holy mackerel.
I know. Just get me to October 4th without any more of these injuries.
You know, now I'm wondering if Trey Turner is going to be in better shape for the playoffs than JT, but we'll see. All right, Sheil, let's start with this because, you know, one of the things we love about having you on, especially by Wednesday when you come on, is you've broken down the film of the game. Can you put some context into what changed? We know they won hurry up offense. We know they had a little bit more design Jalen runs. Not a ton, but a little bit. But what else changed that led to an offense being horrible to being, like, really good in the second half? What specifically did you notice on film?
Yeah, I mean, the first half was as sloppy an offensive football performance as you'll see, especially from this Eagles team. I mean, anything you can imagine, they were losing one-on-one up front. The route spacing was terrible. I mean, there are plays where you have two players running the same route. That happened multiple times in the first half. You had Jalen Hurts turning down throws. You had missed blitz pickups. You had, play calling on 2nd and 17. You're lining up in the I formation and running the football. It looked like a terribly coached unit with guys who didn't know what they were doing in the first half. And then the second half, it was night and day. They knew they had to pass the ball, and so they went to formations where they would isolate A.J. Brown on one side, and Jalen Hurts would trust it and throw it to him, and A.J. Brown is a beast when he gets the ball. We've seen that for years now in this city. So they went to that a lot more. I thought Jalen Hurts, the second half, was his best half of football he's played this season. I thought he was accurate, decisive. The blocking held up better. Obviously, Fred Johnson gets in there. So those are some of the main things you saw, but mostly it was just, hey, be aggressive. You're paying the quarterback over $50 million per year. You're paying the wide receivers a lot of money. You don't have to prioritize avoiding turnovers over all else. You can throw the football if you need to, and we've seen that before. We saw it in the Super Bowl last year. We saw it in the NFC Championship game last year, and we saw it in the second half of this football game.
Why does the run game look so much less efficient this season, Shiel?
Yeah, you know, in this game, I thought up front, specifically the interior of their offensive line, you know, I know Landon Dickerson has been dealing with some injuries, so it wasn't one guy. You know, you kind of looked at it, and every time I would write down a negative run, it was Tyler Steen one run, it was Landon Dickerson another run. It was their tight ends, you know, being put in some very difficult situations against Jared Verse, where I just don't think they can handle those situations right now. So I think they need to get a little more creative with what they do. You know, it hasn't been as diverse a run game as we've seen in previous years. And you saw some of that sprinkled in last week with Jalen Hurts being used, like Joe said at the top here. I think they've got to go to a little bit more of that, because I don't think the offensive line is still a very good offensive line. I don't think it's performing quite at the level that it was performing at last year.
Shiel, what about Saquon? So I agree with everything you said there. That's all factors. But do you notice, you know, some athletic effect from last year, that there's some wear? And I know it's hard to identify. You know, normally it takes more than three games to it. Like, I remember Brian Westbrook in 07 was at the top of his game, and by 09 he was cooked at the end of the season. And he went to 2010 with the 49ers, and he stunk. And B. West, if you're listening, God bless you, man. No offense. You know, he laid it on the line, and running backs can hit a wall. I'm not saying Saquon's hit a wall, but I am saying he does not look to me to be as explosive this year, Shiel. Does your eye test tell you that?
I don't see that. I don't think, you know, I would like to see some plays where he has the opportunity to break one, where he doesn't break one, and I'm just not seeing a lot of those. And then you're still seeing the flashes. I mean, he had a play in this game, I think it was a 3rd and 3, where they've got a defender in the backfield, and that play is dead, I think, for 9 out of 10 running backs in the NFL, and he just has this incredible spin move to the left side, and he picks up the first down. It's a huge play in the game. So when I still see those flashes, I still see the explosiveness. And I think, to me, it's more of a blocking. I mean, when he was with the Giants, you know, there were seasons where the blocking wasn't good and he didn't put up big numbers and he didn't look like the guy we saw last year. Now, it's not nearly to that effect with this Eagles offensive line, but again, he's got to have those opportunities. And I just want a bigger sample of him not doing that before I say that, hey, he's showing some wear and tear.
Jalen's finally, I'm watching some of the talking heads celebrate Jalen Hurts as a cerebral quarterback now. And I am excited by this. I'm wondering why it took so long, and I'm wondering if you're seeing proof of this a greater command of the offense, I guess, demonstrated by Jalen this year, a greater maturity, an offensive maturity by Jalen based on the tape you've dug into?
Yeah, there was a great example in this game. You know, it was a 3rd down, and they dropped 8 players into coverage, and Jalen Hurts has to kind of go from his right to his left. If you remember the Devontae Smith completion, it was kind of an in-breaking route for 16 yards. I thought that was a great example of him being patient, recognizing what he was seeing, and delivering the football on time. So, yeah, I think the reason why there probably is some frustration, whether it's internally or just people watching this team, is because you watch a second half like that, and you're just like, he can do these things. You know, you don't always have to play the most conservative brand of football that they've been playing in some of these games. And I feel like if he's put in those situations, he can deliver the football on time, be accurate, go through his reads. And, yeah, you saw that in this game for sure. I think there's a calm with him this year.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Especially, you know, the numbers against the blitz haven't been great, but I do think there's been a calm with him where you're not seeing him just hold on to the ball, scramble around, throw it away, where he knows what he's looking at.
So, Shield, at a very basic level, would you say Sirianni should trust him more?
You said it much, much more succinctly than I did, Joe, but, you know, I got a whole radio hit to fill here, so if I just give you one sentence, you're like, what's wrong with Shield? He's not talking to us today. So, yes, you said it much, much more succinctly than I did.
Shield, what'd you make of the defense and their performance in this game?
You know, the run game was not good. The run defense was not good. I thought they missed a lot of tackles, maybe more so than they did earlier in the season. And then the Rams did some nice things schematically where, even Cooper DeJean, who is an awesome player and has been very good this season, but in this game they got him a couple times with their wide receivers, Puka Nacua, and their tight ends kind of pinning him and creating some space. Jalen Carter,
when you say they got him, by pinning him to make some space, are you talking when he's in man coverage, they were doing like crossing routes and that sort of thing and picking him off? What do you mean there, Shiel?
No, it's more they use these condensed formations where they have more their wide receivers closer to the line of scrimmage, and when they run the football, their wide receivers probably do a better job than any wide receivers in the NFL of getting to that second level on the opponent's defensive backs and really blocking them. And Cooper DeJean had a hard time getting off those blocks in the run game and making plays like he usually does. So that was just one thing. I do think the missed tackles were a big deal. Quinyon Mitchell, Zach Bond had one. You know, there were kind of a handful of those. If you look at the plays that went for 10 or more yards, that the Eagles missed some tackles there. And then Jalen Carter had some great reps in this game, but he also had some reps against the run where he got pushed around a little bit, which I'm not used to seeing. So I know there could be an injury thing there with Jalen Carter, just with what he's been dealing with. I don't know anything specifically, but there were some reps in this game where you say, oh, it usually does not look like that with Jalen Carter, where it's either a single block or a double team, and he's getting kind of moved out of his gap a little bit. So it was a combination, I think, of a lot of different things.
Shield, beyond just the film, let's talk about an off-the-field issue that relates to on-the-field. If you were Sirianni, what would you do with Jalen Carter, considering there was another 15-yard infraction 2 weeks after he got ejected from a game?
Well, I mean,
Is it not much? I mean, is that what we're at? Like, not much? Just, hey, dude, don't, like, I told you, don't do it. And by the way, like, don't do it. Is that it?
I think that's probably it. I mean, I don't know. I would not be suspending him or benching him or anything, like, especially with some of these, you know, the replays we get. Like, I still am not totally, I don't know if you guys have seen it. I'm still not totally sure what he did afterwards.
Oh, I know what he did. He turned around. He kept doing the I blocked it thing. But he did it by turning around instead of walking or running to the sideline. He turned around for an extended period of time, looking at the other team. I would certainly imagine he was saying something. I can't prove it.
Yeah.
And he was doing it in the direction of the other team's sideline and players that were still lingering on the field from the other team. That's taunting. That's taunting.
Okay, so to me, there are different lines to this. Obviously, the spit in week one, that's one thing. Some of these things, I mean, Puka Nacua flexing and getting a 15-yard penalty to me. So I take
bad call. That should not have happened. But the Jalen Carter one's legit.
Okay, so I understand these other. Yeah, I mean, you try to get through to them. Say we can't be doing that. Listen, we knew some of this was going to be an issue when you drafted him, but has the risk been worth the reward? Of course it has. Yeah, so you want to avoid some of these things for sure. You don't want to go overboard, and there is that fine line. And listen, Sirianni is a fiery guy. Sirianni has been known to yell a little bit at the opponent and do some of those things. So, what are you going to do? Bench Jalen Carter, and then the next week, Sirianni might be yelling at the other team's fans for all we know. So I think it's a fine line, and I don't think it's reached that level right now where you need to do anything drastic.
You know who else is really fiery, Shield? Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
How well is he playing? And man, the Bucks are 3-0.
Yeah, he's very entertaining. Now they've got some injuries on their offensive line, and they're going to be without their best receiver in Mike Evans. And so what they do really well is in the passing game, they're able to pick up chunks of like 15, 20 yards so easily. It just feels like whenever they need to. I mean, they've needed a game-winning drive every single week. Now he will put the ball in harm's way. So that is a big thing to watch this week. When you get those opportunities for those turnovers, the interceptions, the sack fumbles, those types of things, he is among the league leaders in those kinds of plays. So he plays a very entertaining brand of football. He can put you on his back for 2 minutes and drive you down the field. He can also turn it over two or three times. So it's going to be an adventure next week in Tampa.
So, it's funny, Shiel, and Shiel Kapadia with us right now, when John was saying, who else is fiery? Holy mackerel, I thought he was about to say CJ GJ. So that's why I was chuckling.
He is also quite fiery.
He's the most
and
fiery.
Available.
He just got kicked off a team for being fiery. So, a couple of things here, man. Bad for his career, Shiel. With his athleticism still being what it is, good enough to be a quality starting safety, to be kicked off a team is bad. And obviously, he's moved. This is like six teams in 5 years or whatever the heck it is. It's crazy. So we saw all sorts of conflicting reports about whether the Eagles can sign him. It looks like out of the gate they can't. What's your understanding, Shiel, of the rule on his eligibility to join the Eagles, and when he's eligible, if he's eligible, would you want him back?
Yeah, I actually still have to look into that. I don't want to, tell you an answer that I don't have clarity on.
What I read is because he's a vested veteran, that 4-game minimum might not apply to him.
Yeah, there seems to be all sorts of confusion.
Yeah, I've heard lots of different things.
And I'll
say
this, even if it applies right now, if no one signs him for some period of time, at some point he's got to be eligible to join the Eagles. So,
correct.
Again,
yeah.
I don't know the official rule. This has been very confusing. But let's just say, Shiel, you get to the point that he's still available and eligible to join the Eagles. Would you want him?
I would. I'm with you. When a guy is on so many teams and so many, like, he cannot last more than one season on a football team, from the Saints to the Eagles to the Lions to back to the Eagles to the Texans. There's something about him that, all right, we can handle it for 1 year, but beyond that, it's going to get pretty tough with this guy. You drafted Drew Mukuba, who I think has played pretty well so far this season, so you have to have a real plan. Are you going to bring Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in, and all of a sudden he's starting and replacing Drew Mukuba? I don't know that I would deem that a move that I would want to do right now. You're not going to bring him in for depth. I don't think he's a guy you covet and say, hey, you're going to compete for playing time right now. That doesn't feel like a great situation. So I would probably say no. I think you're okay right there. I don't think you're getting bad safety play at this point in time. Now, if you have an injury or something, maybe that changes. But I would probably say, hey, you had a great year with him last year. He was terrific on the Super Bowl team. But that was a different time and a different roster, and probably not bringing him back right now.
So, Shiel, I agree. And to me, look, it's a really odd one because they succeed when they have him. They succeed to a decent extent when they don't have him, but they have succeeded historically more when they do have him. But I also just think it's one of those things where obviously this came down to his personality. This was not about his play last year or after 22. Sirianni and Howie obviously got together and said, this guy is a pain in the ass. We don't want to continue with it. And, if they went back to it a third time, I it's odd because when they have him, they succeed. He did not impede them from winning the Super Bowl last year, but he probably impeded them from having as much enjoyment as they otherwise could because the guy's just such a firecracker in there. He probably just freaking irritates everybody.
Yeah, well, two things I would add to that. One is that when you're winning, he the personality probably is a little bit different than when you're 0-3 like the Texans were. And so, you know, you think you're going to have a winning team, but if you have a lose, you know, you want the culture to be strong even when things go south. And then do remember Vic Fangio's comments after the trade where he was asked about it and basically said, I was okay with it, was his answer. So I don't know, you know, it might be Sirianni and Howie Roseman. It might be Vic Fangio was a guy this offseason where they had those conversations. Who do we want to keep? Who do we not want to keep? And him saying, hey, I'm good going in another direction here.
Yeah, I agree. And, by, and I'll just add this one little addendum, Shiel. If it was the cornerback position, I may bend because that's a bigger area of need. But I trust Mukuba more than I trust, you know, with Dore Jackson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that also factors into this decision.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I've been encouraged with Mukuba. It's not perfect, but at the very least, he looks like a, you know, competent starter in the NFL. And a lot of times rookies come in that are second-round picks and they play right away, and it's a disaster. And it has not been a disaster with him. I like his play personality. I think he's got some things to clean up, but I think he has a chance to be a good player. So I would not want to block him. And I'm with you. Yeah, if it was cornerback two, big area of need, you don't really have any other options, maybe you're more willing to take a risk, but that's not what Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is. He is a safety or a nickel. He's not going to be playing outside corner for you.
Shiel, how has Jordan Davis's role on the team changed with his improved fitness and an improved play?
Yeah, I don't know that he's had a stretch where he's played this many snaps in a three-game stretch. I honestly,
it's incredible.
It might go back to high school because at Georgia, he was used as a rotational. This was a big question for him coming out of the draft where, well, he didn't play a lot of snaps. And we know, we've talked about it over the years, he hasn't played a lot of snaps in the NFL. And now not only is he playing snaps, but he's chasing Matthew Stafford to the sideline on that play. I mean, that was their only sack of the game, and that was on a third down in the second half where he still had the juice to do that. He's been their best run defender, in my opinion, and the statistics back that up. So he's been very good in that respect. And then you get what you got from him on special teams. So it's so funny. We spent a lot of time in the summer or in the off season saying, hey, how are they going to replace Milton Williams? And I think we talked a lot about Moro Ojomo, and no one even kind of acknowledged that, hey, what if Jordan Davis makes the leap? You know, it's later in his career, but what if he makes a leap and is able to play more snaps? And that's kind of what's happened so far through the first 3 weeks of the season. So, yeah, it's been a very, very encouraging start, not just the field goal block, but just how he's performed overall the first three games. It's been the best stretch of his career. There's no doubt about it.
Hey, Shiel, good work, bud. We look forward to talking to you next week. It's going to be interesting. 3-1 or 4-0, we'll see. It's a test down there versus Tampa. Love having you on. Thanks, Shiel.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Shiel Kapadia. All right, so Ben Davis, I got to imagine he got smoked by any number of line drives, or, you know, say line drives, foul balls and pitches that, you know, get whatever, missed or whatever. JT got hit hard last night behind the dish. We'll find out from Ben's perspective what JT's dealing with right now and what it could look like for when the playoffs, you know, come up starting next week. So Ben Davis with us next as we broadcast today, and it is absolutely wonderful to be here. We thank Mentic Construction. We're in Glen Mills. We're at Heroes Bar and Grill. If you're waking up in Glen Mills or the surrounding area, come hang with us. We'll be here till 10. Breakfast is being served. Drinks are being served. Be here. Heroes Bar and Grill. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.
Hey, if you've got those old drafty windows or the cheap ones that came with your house, now is the perfect time to get them replaced before the cold weather hits. And Window Nation is the company I recommend.
Exactly. I replaced the windows in my own house with Window Nation, and it was a game changer. They are a company that you can trust. They know that new windows are an investment, and they work to make it affordable
for you.
And their
crews are awesome. They'll get the job done in a day or less, and with a team that has over 10 years of experience on average, so you can be sure they'll install your windows right the first time.
And right now, the deal is incredible. Buy two windows, you'll get two free, plus an extra 10% off, and you'll pay nothing up front. That's zero down, zero monthly payments, and zero interest for 2 full years. Seriously, you won't pay a dime until 2027. But hurry, this sale ends on September 30th.
Don't wait. Just go to windownation.com or call 866-90-NATION.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.